Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there. Here we go. I was here.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
Out into this audience, to those who will listen,
in the days to come. We pray that the words that are spoken will be seasoned with grace and truth, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, because you are our strength and our redeemer. Remember that this, let this word fall upon good ground, those who hear, that it will produce fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold in the name of Jesus. And everybody agreed with that, said amen. All right, we're getting right back into where we've been sharing. We've shared several times here for the last 3 days, or three Fridays, on the topic Great Storm, Great Calm, Great Things, taken from the book of Mark, chapter 4. And we started at verse 35 and through up to 36. As the Bible says, as we read it to you into your hearing again, and the scripture says, and the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as it was in the ship. And there also was with him other little ships. Mark chapter 4, verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. Look, I just want to say to you today, praise God, we stopped off last week at this particular point where Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind. He rebuked the harshness of the storm, and he spoke the words, as I shared on the last podcast, and he said, Peace, be still. Actually, excuse me, the word peace translated to us in our modern vernacular is on this wise. He said unto them, Shh, quiet. And he said, Stop it. That's enough. Peace, be still. If you've been listening to the podcast, you heard what I shared on the last episode about the connotations of peace. But I just want to say that in a nutshell, he was saying to them, I'm not going to leave you hanging, as we would say in our day. He said, but I'm going to leave you complete. That word peace actually would be saying, I'm going to leave you with nothing lacking, nothing broken or destroyed, all things whole and all things prosperous. He said, I'm leaving you now as I speak peace to this situation. I'm not going to leave you in derision. I'm not going to leave you in confusion. I'm not going to leave you in destruction. I'm not going to leave you without the things that you started with, or even more. He said, I'm going to leave you complete. As I speak this word into your life, into your hearing. And Jesus, you know the story. He's on the boat with him, and they are now upset. I don't know, friend, are you in a storm today? Have you been in a storm? One songwriter said, I've been in the storm too long. Have you been in the storm a long time? Have you been in the storm that you're facing? Praise God. And I know that there are a lot of people that are facing storms, and especially in this particular hour that we're living, in the economic pressures of life and all of the things that are surrounding us, from politics all the way back down to family members. Oh, yes, we are facing storms, some of us, like we've never faced before. On the political realm and in the financial realm, we're facing storms. Are you in a storm, relationship-wise, any otherwise? Are you in a storm? Some of us are in storms on our jobs. Some of us are in storms with our friends. Some of us are in storms with our relatives. Are you in a storm? Hallelujah. I want to tell you today that Jesus is on the ship, on the boat with you, and he, my friend, can speak peace to your storm. He will speak peace to your storm if you will let him. But here he chastises his disciples by asking them the question, why are ye so fearful? Why are you so full of fear? Why are you so tormented by this storm? And what he was saying to them is, look, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And yet you, you have me, and you're still being tormented by the situation. You know, there are a lot of people that are in the body of Christ today that are being tormented by the devil. They're being run, the enemy is running roughshod over them because of the fact. I've got a caller in here, so let's see what the caller wants to talk about today. Yes, caller, you're on the air. Caller, you're on the air. All right. I guess they don't want to talk. Amen. So what I want to say today is, in the midst of, caller, you're on the air, can you hear me? In the midst of a storm, Jesus begins to deal with the disciples about their unbelief and about their faith. And at the end of the day, what he's really saying to them is, friend, I want, and he's addressing them because they, at this point now, are allowing the storm which they are facing to overtake them, to destroy them. They feel that they're going to be destroyed. Is that you today, friend? Are you feeling that you're going to be destroyed in your situation, your circumstances, whatever you're facing? Are you feeling this particular way? I want to tell you that Jesus is with you. Yeshua, the man of God, the son of God, the one and only, he's with you today. And he has positioned himself for you not to be destroyed. I want to encourage you today that no matter what you're facing, no matter how hard it may seem, and Jesus has told you to go to do a certain thing, and it seems like you just can't make it through, I want to tell you that not only is Jesus with you, but he's given you the power. He's given you the authority. He's given me the authority to speak to this situation as it did in the day that he spoke to this storm and said unto it, peace, be still. Peace, be still. He said, why were you so afraid? Why were you so fearful? Where's your faith? In other words, he said, you could have said the same thing that I said. You could have done the same thing that I did. But your eyes, you were focused on what was happening around you. And I'm, look, friend, I know I'm not a person that is not sensitive to a situation. I know that things happen around us and we just can't go into ignorance about it. We can't just ignore it and say that it's not there. But I want to tell you today that you and I have the right, to, even though the storms of life may be pressing, the things that you're dealing with, the things that are around us may be horrible to us. But at the end of this situation, God has given us, Jesus has given us, you and I, the power to overcome it. And I want to tell you today that you can overcome. He said, why are you so fearful? And I want to say something about fear today. You know, we used the acronym that fear was in the past. false evidence appearing real. Now, look, I'm not going to be a fool here and say that they were not in a storm. I'm not going to be this person who's an illusionist and say, well, you know, that was just something happening in their imagination. No, sir. They were in an actual storm. They were in an actual situation. They were facing a situation that would cause them life and death. And they were in a place, praise God, where they can seem to see their way out. But I want to say this to you. No matter what the situation may look like, and it may be life and death. I don't know what you're dealing with today. Is it a sickness? Is it a disease? Is it something that's incurable? Is it something that you seem like you can't overcome? Is it a financial problem that you're facing that you seem that you can't get out of? Is it something in your relationship that you seem that you just, the storm is just too horrendous? Are you being depressed today? Are you oppressed by the enemy? Are you being tossed to and fro by life's winds and life's storms? I want to let you know today that fear is not a part of the repertoire in which God has given you. As a matter of fact, Timothy said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. God wants you today to know that you don't have to deal in the area of torment. You don't have to be overcome by the spirit of fear. You have the power to remove fear. Let's talk about fear today. Fear. What is, somebody said it's the opposite of faith. Well, that is true. But I can also say that perfected love, as Jesus talked to his disciples, it cast out fear. What is perfected love? Perfected love is my love is so much in, I am so engrossed with the Father. I am so engrossed with the Son until it does not matter what comes to me, what comes not. Let me give you an illustration of that. There were three guys in the Old Testament by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we know them because they were part of Daniel's entourage. And they were confronted by a man who said to them that if they did not bow and worship an image, that they would be destroyed. They didn't let fear set in. This is what they said. They said, if our God is with us, and they knew that he was, they said, you know, we don't care if we perish. It does not matter because we will not bow. And what they were saying is, we don't fear you. We don't fear our circumstances, and we don't fear men for what they can do to us. What they were saying is, we will give our very lives for what is happening to us and what is going to happen around us. They said, we will not bow. If it seems good to you to destroy us, fine. If it seems good that you take our lives, wonderful. But we will not give in because we have perfect love towards our God. And they were not afraid. That love that they had for God cast out that fear. Hallelujah. And because they cast that fear out, they were not tormented in the situation. Friend, are you facing that? Has the devil told you that God is through with you? Has the enemy said that you can't make it? Has he been given slurs and sharing things to you that would cause you to have an attitude that God has forsaken you? This is what the disciples thought. They thought that the Lord had forsaken them, even though he was right there with them the whole time. They thought that they were done with. They said, look, do you not care that we perish? And he gets up and he rebukes the storm. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I pray above all things that thou would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. You've heard me say that scripture many times, but I want to say it one more time. That word prosper means, he said, I want you to have peace. One of the greatest times of my life, one of the greatest times that I had an experience with the Lord, I had been through a time of praying and fasting. I had gone and I sought the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul. And during the period of time, in that particular time of fast, in a certain length of days, I think around about the 10th day of the fast, the Spirit of the Lord came to me. I was very hungry. I mean, I was tired. I was out of it almost because of I had no food or no water. And I don't want to say that to you for any other reason but for illustration. And I'm in this trance of the Spirit. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord comes to me, and he speaks to me, I mean, in this real, this voice that I'm, his voice, glory to God. His voice is so smooth, it's so quiet, it's so easy, it's so peaceful. And I'm thinking, oh, God, he's speaking to me. He's going to give me this great thing of revelation. He's going to share some stuff with me that I'd never known. He comes to me and asks me one question. This is what the Spirit of the Lord says to me. He says, Jerry, why are you not trusting me for peace? And I didn't really get it. I'm going, oh, my goodness. You mean to tell me that I'm going through this particular time in my life now? I'm seeking the face of God, and I'm giving him my all, and he asked the question of me, why am I not trusting him for peace? And that shook my world even until this day. And I praise him today that I have peace in my heart because of that question he asked me. And this happened way back in 1982 or 3 or something like that. Kind of gives you an idea of how old I am a little bit, maybe. But anyway, he says this to me without a, and I began to meditate on the fact that I wasn't trusting him for peace. I wasn't trusting him for nothing lacking. I wasn't trusting him for things not being broken. I wasn't trusting him at that particular time for things not being destroyed. Nothing broken, nothing lacking. I wasn't trusting him for a completeness of life. I wasn't trusting him to be whole. And I began to look at what he was saying to me, and I started speaking to that situation that was in my life. And the Lord gave me a peace that's passing all understanding, as the scripture tells us, and it's keeping my heart, hallelujah, and my mind in Christ Jesus ever since. And I want you to know that same peace today, that same peace that he asked me was I not trusting him for, is yours, it's yours. The Bible says, Jesus said, this peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, but as I give it. And he said, I give it to you, so that you, in this world, you may have tribulation. But with me, being inside of you, with you, as it was on the boat with the disciples, you can have peace. I don't care what's going on around you. I don't care how devastating it may seem. I don't care how destructive it may come, it seems to come at you at this particular time in your life. I want you to know today that when Jesus is on board with you, you have peace. Nothing like it, nothing broken, all things whole and all things prosperous. You have peace. Now, for those of you who are not saved, because the only way you can enjoy this peace, you got to be saved. Those of you that may listen to this podcast or listen to this podcast on down the road in the days to come, I want to tell you that you can have this same peace that we share, that we have, by giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you're going through, because there was a reason why Jesus was in this boat with his disciples, and the little ships were following him, because we're going to get to that today. He was going through a circumstance and a situation. Friend, I don't know who you are today, but you can be saved. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, for as many as call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you begin to call upon his name today with a sincere heart, with your heart reaching out to him, with your heart totally submitted to him, I can guarantee you, like he did me in the days of old and all the others who have become born again, that he'll do the same for you. Hallelujah. Call on his name today. Let him save you. Let him reach down that nail-scarred hand from Calvary and touch you in your bosom and take all of the sins of the life out of your body, out of your spirit, out of your soul, and out of your mind, and let him save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. Here we go. The disciples now saying to themselves, what kind of man is this that he even speaks to the winds and the storm? I told you last week, I gave you an example of my own son, even back in the days of those my children growing up, that they experienced a storm, and they now know that they have the power to speak the circumstances, the situations and circumstances, not just things of life, but they can also speak to a physical storm. When tornadoes or hurricanes arise on the scene, we have the power to drive them away. I've given you examples. You check out the last podcast, last two podcasts, and I've given examples in those podcasts about how certain people spoke to storms, and the storms, even, I'm talking about real storms, Katrina and all the rest of them, and all these storms that were happening, hurricanes, they stopped at the at the voice of some believers who dared to trust God. But now let's get to where we've been heading for the whole time. We're coming into the apex of what we're dealing with in this podcast. We're going to close out part three today by the grace of God. In verse 41, the Bible says, "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" He's a man of faith, that's what he is. He's a man that's trusting God. He's a man that feels that if Jesus said he can do it, he can do it. He puts his faith into action. She puts her faith into action, and she begins to cry and say things that the Lord has said, and she stands on them, he stands on them, and they come to pass. I don't know what storm you're dealing with today, friend. I don't know what the devil has told you, said that you won't make it through, you can't get out, you're just a statistic. But I stop by to tell you today that you can do the same things that Jesus did. You can speak by faith to your situation, and it will come to pass. You can speak to that mountain of satanic adversity in your life and tell it to go, and it must go. It has to go. In Yeshua's name, you, I, man of faith, woman of faith, we are people of faith. Our trust and our confidence is not in the things that are around us. It is in Almighty God. It is in Jesus Christ, his Son. And I want to say to you today, the same faith that was in Jesus is in you. He said, if you have the grain of a mustard seed of faith, then you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And shall I doubt in thy heart, but believe those things which you say shall come to pass? It shall come to pass for you. Mark chapter 11, I believe, says, and if you say those things, when you pray, if you believe what you pray, if you believe what you say when you pray, you can have what you say. And I praise God today, you can have it. I, and all the people that listen to this word of God today and read this word of God, you have the same authority. You have the same privilege to have what you say. Let's go to chapter 5 and let's close this thing out today. In the Bible, chapter 5 of Mark, and the scripture declares to us in verse 17. This is now, let's paint a picture here. The reason why Jesus and the disciples and the other little ships were going over to the other side. Let me tell you something. There were some other. Let me say this before I get to that. Hold that point right there. We're gonna talk about why they were going to the other side. But let's remember that in the passage of Scripture, the Bible says that there were other little ships with them that were following them as well. Let me tell you something. Whatever you're going through, somebody else is going through with you. I don't care who they are. I don't care where they are. I want you to know that you're not going through by yourself. And it is imperative for you, and it's imperative for me, that we show how important the Lord is in our lives to the people that are around us. Don't cave in. Don't quit. Don't faint. Don't stop. Let me tell you something. Your darkest hour is just before the day. The psalmist said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. When is morning? A morning is a split millisecond right after 12 o'clock. I don't care what it is, whatever time it is right after 12 o'clock. It's the morning. And I want you to know that your morning has come. I don't care how dark it still may seem. Your morning is here. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, your joy will come in the morning. It is here. Praise God. Just whatever you're going through, whatever darkness you're facing, however gloomy it may seem, you and I have a morning coming. Amen. So here we are. There are other people that are around you that are sensing what you're going through, that are dealing with what you're going through. Nobody talks about the other little ships, so let's talk about the other little ships for a minute. The other little ships were out there with Jesus because they had just left a dynamic crusade. They had just finished one of the greatest times that they'd had. The Bible says, and they turned the multitude away, as we read the scripture in verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. They turned the multitude away, but there were some people who refused to leave. They said, we want to follow you. So they followed the entourage of Jesus and his disciples over to the other side, and they were caught in the storm as well. Friend, I want you to know that whenever you're in a storm, whatever you're facing, there are other people who are following you. They are in that storm with you. They may not be as impactful to them as it is to you, But I want to guarantee you that they're in that storm with you, and it is imperative that you speak to that thing, because it's not about just you, and it's not about just me, but it's about everybody that's with us. Glory to God. I heard one young man say to me one time, he says, well, what I do won't affect anybody else. I want to tell you something today, that what you do affects everybody. It does not matter where they are or how far they may be or how close they may be. It affects everybody. One man said through a cliche, he said it like this. He said, injustice everywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. All I can tell you is that your sin or whatever you're dealing with, your circumstances or your problem, has an effect on somebody somewhere. Excuse me. And I want to tell you today, excuse me, that you have the power, you have the right. You've been given, I mean you and I have been given, the very power and essence to overcome every situation and help others who are around us to understand. It's all about a witness, to understand that they as well can be delivered. We don't talk about it, but those other little ships were delivered too. We didn't hear about anybody being destroyed. We didn't hear about anybody being cast down or forsaken in that whole storm, because not only were the disciples affected by it, but the other little ships that followed Jesus were affected by it. They were affected by it. Some pastor today, I don't know who you are, you say, well, what I'm doing won't affect my congregation. Some of you leaders who are saying, well, what I'm doing won't affect the people that I have to deal with in leadership. I want to tell you today that whatever you do has an effect, positive or negative, on whoever you are leading or whoever is following you or whoever has their eyes on you. Your response to the situation has an effect on everybody that's around you. You can respond positive or you can respond negative. The disciples here just responded negative. But that, Jesus says, you can respond positive. I want to encourage you today, friend. I want to encourage you, pastor. I want to encourage you, leaders. I want to encourage you, mothers. I want to encourage you, fathers. I want to encourage you that you have the power to get out of that storm. You have the power to speak to that situation. You have the power and the influence, because somebody is watching you. Somebody is watching me. Amen. So here we go. Chapter 5. Jesus now gets off the boat. The peace, the calm has come. The Bible says as soon as he spoke to the situation, there was a great calm. It happened right there immediately. And the sun came out. Can I tell you, I don't know where you've been, friend. I don't know what you've been going through. I'm trying to get to this guy, but I want to say this to you today. The sun will shine again. I don't care how dark it's been. It may be a situation about death, and I'm feeling somebody has experienced a loved one, somebody who's died, and they were the closest thing to you. I want to tell you today that life is not over. Even though you did all you could do, you've gone as far as you can go with them, any situations you're facing, life is not over. You've got to go on. You've got to move on. You can't be in a state of depression. That storm was horrible. Yes, it almost took you out. It almost destroyed you. It almost brought you it almost broke you to pieces. And some of you have been broken to pieces. And you said, I don't know if God can even put me back together. Friend, I want to tell you today that the sun will shine again. And I didn't mean just the S-U-N. I mean the S-O-N. He'll shine in your life again. He'll make things brand new. He'll bring you out of the situation that you were facing. He can do it today. I feel you today. I want you to know that is for you. You can be delivered. You are delivered. All you've got to do is accept your deliverance. Somebody say, well, you're just talking that old crazy faith talking. You just really. No, I'm just telling you. You know, you've never been in my situation. You don't know what I'm going through. Yes, I do know what you're going through. I've been there and I've done that. I've had situations probably worse than some of you that I'm ministering to. But the bottom line is, through it all, as one songwriter said, I learned to trust in Jesus. I learned to depend upon his word. And his word says, I am healed. His word says, I am free. His word says victory. I want to tell you today, it's victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to know it's victory. Give your heart to him. Talk to him. Let him know how depressed you are. Let him know how oppressed you are. Let him know what your circumstances are. Call on him. You say, well, I've called on him and nothing happened. Call on him again. You've tried the rest, and I've tried the best. You've tried barbiturates. You've tried depressors. You've tried uppers. You've tried downers. And nothing is happening for you. Friend, Jesus is the answer for your situation. Excuse me, I guess I've got a little preacher here. But I want to tell you, praise God, that the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, hallelujah. He's standing there right now. I can see him standing there with his arms open wide to receive you and to take you unto himself and to show you his love and to give you a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that you've never experienced before. I feel him as he's reaching out to you today, and I impart that to you today. I impart that same Jesus. That same God that gave me peace, that same God that spoke peace to that storm for those disciples, I impart that Jesus to you today and tell you that he's standing there. Hallelujah. I see him with his arms open wide to embrace you. Fall into his arms today. Fall into his care. Cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Amen to that. All right, let's get on. Woo! Hallelujah. I just feel the Spirit of God here today. Whatever you're doing, I want to pray with you. I just feel led to pray with somebody. Father, whatever they're going through, whatever they're dealing with, give them that deliverance that they've been trusting you for and believing you for. Let that nail scar of hand do Calvary touch them today. And that is, somebody's got that touch. Somebody got that touch right there. Touch them today. And give them the deliverance that they believe you for in the name of Jesus. Man, somebody got that touch. Glory to God. Oh, let's get back. Now, chapter 5 of that same book of St. Mark. Jesus now is dealing with why he asked his disciples to go to the other side. They were there. They were going to the other side. For this one reason and one reason alone, it was not about them. And the Bible says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, verse chapter 5, verse 1, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus, listen at that. Afar off he ran and worshipped him. Let me tell you something. First of all, this man was, he had an unclean spirit. And expositors and historians say that this unclean spirit that he had was a sexual unclean spirit. And if any time there's we've seen an unclean spirit that's in the United States of America and around the world, it's now. Unclean spirits of sexual impurities, pornography, and all these sins. I mean, it's just rampant. As a matter of fact, I've heard about research that the two things that people are more keyed into in this country, statistically, the number one thing is pornography. Excuse me. Pornography. And guess what should be number one, but it's number two? The Bible. Let's make the Bible number one and pornography none at all. How about that? But anyway, This man had an unclean spirit. He had a spirit, a sexual unclean spirit. He was an unclean man. And therefore, he was tormented with it day and night. And I'm going to tell you, all you guys, everybody that's out there that's dealing with this, wherever you are, if you've been in pornography, you've been stuck in it, seeing you can't get out. I mean, there's some good material out there that didn't help you, but I want to say something. I want to say something by the Spirit of Almighty God. I want to say this with all my heart and with all my soul to you today. We've all been tried by this stuff. We've been tempted, but we don't have to give in. Let me tell you something. Everybody is acquainted with fears. Everybody is acquainted with doubt, but we don't have to be overcome or overtaken by them. You don't have to be overtaken by the spirit of pornography or the spirit of uncleanness or the spirit of lust. I came to tell you good gospel news today that Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, wants to speak peace to your life like he did the disciples when they were in their storm. This man was in his storm, and he couldn't seem to get out. He had an unclean spirit, and the Bible says that day and night he was in the mountains by himself. They could not bind him. They could not hold him. They could not keep chains on him. Let's say he was in the insane asylum, and they couldn't put a straitjacket on it and hold him because he was so full of devils, so full of unclean spirits. But, oh, the Bible says when he saw Jesus, let me tell you something, friend. I don't care how long you've been addicted. I don't care how long this addiction has gone on in your life. I don't care how long it seems like you've been in this storm. The Bible says that this man, listen what he did. He drugged, and the Bible says he had a spirit of legions, of devils, thousands, sometimes 4,000 or 5,000 devils had possessed him. I just say it was just one major one, and that was the spirit of fear. I won't get into that today, but praise God. I want to tell you that fear has no chain. Fear has no binds. Fear has no control over you and me if we will trust God by faith and love him with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. Then that perfect love will cast out the fear, and the fear that has torment will leave us, and we can use our faith to overcome, by the Bible says in the book of Galatians, that faith which worketh by love. Hallelujah. Will remove the chains of doubt and unbelief and the feathers of fear and uncleanness and lust out of our. I want to pray for you today. Wherever you are, I can feel it by in my belly. Feel it down in the powers of my spirit. God said to pray for you. I pray for every person that's bound and gagged by the spirit. That's bound by the spirit of lust and uncleanness and pornography. I command the devil to loose the people in Jesus' name and let them go. Let them go. There, somebody got that. Somebody got that. Somebody got that. We bind and gag those unclean spirits, powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places, and we cast those devils down in Jesus' name. And I command them never to return until the day of judgment. And we release back into you your body and your whole, your spirit, and every place in your life, your soul. We release back into you the spirit of the living God coming down upon you. I feel it coming right now, filling you with his spirit. There's an emptiness in your life, but I command the spirit of God to fill you. From the crown of your head to the, oh yeah, there it is right there, to the soles of your feet. Somebody got it. Glory to God. Somebody got it. Hallelujah. Amen. He drugged 5,000 devils plus to the feet of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He's a man. He's a man. A man. Can you believe that he had that type of control? He drove 5,000 unclean spirits to the edge of the lake where he met Jesus, and the Bible says that he worshiped him. Look, I don't care how long you've been in that situation. I don't care how long it seems like it's had you bound. You can take that thing to Jesus. It doesn't have you so bound that you can't do it. He did it by his own will. And the Bible says that when the prodigal son was in the hog pen and remembering all of the things that his father had in his house, the scripture declares to us that he came to himself. I want to tell you today, you can come to yourself. You can come, hallelujah, to yourself, and you can be delivered. I feel it in my belly for you. You, those that have heard my voice today, I want to tell you that deliverance is for you. And you receive it. I hear the Lord saying, receive it. Receive it now. Receive it. Receive it. Your deliverance. Your deliverance. Your deliverance. It's here today. It's yours. Grab it. Grasp it. Embrace it. Glory to God. And the Bible says that he worshiped him. As he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. These are the devil talking. That's your addiction talking. That's your drug addiction. That's your lust addiction. That's your relationship addiction. That's your soul tie addiction. That's your addiction, your sickness, or your disease talking, telling Jesus, what do we have to do with you? And Jesus answered and said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. But come out of them today. And then, there it is right there. Come out of them, you unclean spirit. We bind and gag you and cast you into the abyss and release back into those people that you come out of. The spirit and the word of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, people are getting delivered today. I can feel it all over the land, all over the country. Now, people are getting delivered. Glory to God. And the Bible says, he said, come out of them, you unclean spirit. And the Bible says when he said that, the spirit, They came out of the man and they start talking. He said, they asked him, he asked them, what is thy name? They answered him, Legion, for we are many. And they besought him, the Bible says, that they would be sent, that he would send them out of the country. They would not, send them out of the country. You know, devils don't want to leave you. The reason why they were upset was because Jesus invaded their territory. Jesus invaded their territory, and they were upset at him for coming. That's why they blew the storm up, because they knew that Jesus was on his way. Can I tell you something? It may seem like the hardest time in your life. It may seem like the most crucial time in your life, but the devil knows that Jesus is on his way. So he's brewing up a storm to get your mind off of what Jesus wants to do for you. Amen. Caller, if you want to call back, I tell you what, I open up for answers for you. If you want to call back, that person that was listening, praise God. I opened it here and you didn't respond. So, praise God. I will open that to you, to open the forum to you, if you want to call back, if you want to make a comment. Anyway, now the Bible says that he left that region. Glory to God. He left Jesus, as he commanded those devils to go, he speaks to them. He invaded their region. And therefore, because he invaded their region, they became upset with him. They said, you know what? We know that we can't stay here because you're here now. But what we're going to do is, if you don't mind, we want to negotiate with you. Isn't that something like the devil? Say, if you don't mind, would you cast us into the swine? The Bible says that it was the swine's are feeding. And the devil said unto him, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. In other words, we want to inhabit somebody. That's why I don't eat pork till the day. Oh, that's another story. Anyway, praise God. Now, listen, the Bible says that he sent them into the swine. And the Bible says Jesus gave them leave. He gave them their request. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. The Bible says that he went over violently over the hill. And they were destroyed. The swine were destroyed. He cast out all the barbecue. They couldn't have a barbecue. Because the Bible says that after the swine went over the hill, that the people saw that the man, when he came back, watch what the scripture says. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city, verse 14 of chapter 5, and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now watch the people. You would think that people would be excited about a guy that's been in the tombs all his life. Basically, they knew him for a long time. And now he's delivered, sitting there in his clothes in his right mind. And you would think they would be, oh, man, hallelujah, good. Jimmy or Julie is fine. They're finally delivered. Oh, watch what they say. And the Bible says in verse 16, and they saw him. Watch what they said. And they that saw it told them how it befell of him, to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They said, Jesus, would you please leave? Wow. You would think that they wanted a revival. You would think that they were glad and say, look, would you do the same thing for us? But these guys now are saying, would you please leave? You know, I'm just persuaded that some people just don't want to be delivered. I'm persuaded. Instead of them saying, would you do that for all of us? All of us have situations and circumstances. Would you please help us? The Bible says they ask him to leave. Say, would you leave the coast? Verse 18. And listen what he says. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Verse 19. In other words, he says, look, Jesus, you've done something for me that nobody else could do. And I want to show my gratitude. I want to show you my gratefulness. I want to show you homage. I want to honor you. Would you please let me be one of your disciples? Would you let me follow you as your disciples are doing on the ship? I'll follow you wherever you go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. As we used to say, I'll say what you want me to desire for me to say, and I'll do it to the greatest of my ability, for I'm ever beholden to you for what things you have done for me. This guy was very sincere. He was very, very, very grateful that Jesus had delivered him from that unclean spirit. But watch what Jesus says to him in verse 19. And verse 19 says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not. In other words, Jesus said, let me say this to you, sir. That's in our modern day vernacular. But saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. In other words, Jesus said, look, you can't go on the crusades with me. You can't follow me on an evangelistic trail. You can't do the things that we are doing as the apostles or the disciples, but you can do this. He said, you can go back to your hometown. You can go back home and let them see you for the rest of their lives. That you were once bound, hallelujah. You were once in captivity, but now you've been delivered. It shall be an everlasting sign to them that I am the Lord, that I have delivered you. It would be an everlasting sign to them that I laid my hands and spoken the word into your life, and now you've been delivered. He said, go back and tell them what great thing the Lord has done. Glory to God. Friend, I don't know who you are today. That may be you. I know you want to do great things and exploits for the Lord, but I tell you, one of the greatest things that you can do is stay at home sometimes. In your hometown, in your city, and let people see what Jesus has done for you in your life. And let them see every day of your life, every day that you live, that it is Jesus who made you free. It's Jesus who delivered you. It's Jesus who called that thing out of you, or called those things, that the circumstances, those life that you were facing that seemed to have you, to almost have you destroyed. He said, go back home. Preach compassion. Preach love. Cast out fear like it was cast out of you. Cast it out of others. And tell them what great things the Lord has done. Friend, I don't know if that's you today. But as we close, come to the close of this podcast, isn't it good to know the Savior, that he's walking hand in hand with you? Hallelujah. And the Bible says, after that, Jesus spoke that to him. They departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. They prayed. One of the things that got me was they prayed that Jesus would leave. And he left. I it's hard for me to believe that a person who's been bound all these years, and Jesus delivers them, and the people say, would you please leave? What insanity is that? But Jesus left them without a testimony. He didn't leave them without a testimony. For all the days of that man, that demoniac's life, all the days of that man who was in good Nazareth, all the days of his life, he was a testimony to those who looked on that Jesus had done one great thing there in good Nazareth. If he had not done anything else, that man was a witness. Friend, I want you to know today that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, as the Hebrew writer says, and forevermore. He changes not. He can do the same thing for you. He wants to do that. Today, let him be the Lord of your life. Let him be that today. Hallelujah. Let him be what he was to that man that was in Nazareth, who had all those devils, who was possessed by the enemy and could not seem to find his way. Let him be that for you today. As we come to the close of this podcast, were you that person today? I know some of you got delivered as you listened to this podcast. Some of you are even now moving into the realm of deliverance. I want to tell you, that same Jesus who delivered that man can deliver you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, those who have heard the podcast today, who know that they have had problems that were seeming like this guy who was in Gennazareth, that you're still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You change not. The same deliverance that you gave him is theirs today. I impart it to them. They receive your deliverance. Next time, we'll see you the next week at the same time, same place. But let this be the last thing that you hear. Amen. As we lead the podcast today, let the church say amen. God has spoken.
Ezra blessed the Lord, great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen. Lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. When we receive a word from the Lord, our answer should be, amen. Let the church say, amen. Let the church
Church.